Hey guys, welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. This week we're going to talk about getting spiritually unified with our spouse. What does it mean to be not the same, but together spiritually? It's important. Matt and I dissect it, discuss it. It could affect your salvation. Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show, 2023 edition. My name is Chris.
And I'm Matt Rice, and we're so happy you guys are here. We're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can and share our knowledge and like grab knowledge from other men, other dads around to share with you guys.
We believe Catholic fatherhood will change the world. So let's dive in. Matt, what are we talking about today?
All right. So recently, and like within the last couple months, you know, one of the things that has come up, you know, repeatedly is making sure that we are like we as fathers, we as husbands are like, I don't want to say as closely aligned as we can be with our spouses and with our families, but spiritually that we're going in the same direction together. And where this has been something that's kind of been brewing in my life. But like where it started recently was in a conversation with one of our missionaries here at Ablaze. And it's a married missionary. And up to this point at Ablaze, we've had retreats and different formation events and different things like that for the missionaries and not including their spouses. And what came up in a conversation was just this idea that at Ablaze, we're almost creating conflict in the marriage, but we're creating a situation where one spouse will be growing in a certain direction while the other spouse may be growing in a different direction. And this spouse has to try to translate what they received through our formation or through our retreats to their spouse. So they're getting it secondhand, or they may not be getting it at all, like depending on how the communication goes and stuff like that. And so it really just like struck me that I don't want to do that. You know, at Ablaze, we don't want to do that. We don't want to create this difference in spirituality between husband and wife. And so the more I thought about that, the more I realized, like over the last 20 years of being in ministry, I've had a lot of opportunities to go on retreat, to go to conferences, to go to week-long events where I'm growing spiritually and in knowledge, and my spouse and my kids have not been with me. And so when I get home, like my wife has an amazing relationship with Jesus and in a great relationship with God. She's very devout, very faithful, but very often we don't speak the same language because of what I've been exposed to. Because of what I've experienced has been different than what she's experienced. And it's not to say better or worse or anything like that. It's just different. And so it creates this almost like inability to have a conversation, you know, sometimes about the faith because we just aren't speaking in the same language. And so what I did just recently this past break was like we had a conference to go to. Chris and I are, you know, in this Encounter School of Ministry online together. And one of the things they ask their students is to come to the conference at least once, you know, in the 2 years that we're in this course.
Right.
And so I said, you know what, you know, I absolutely need to go, but this is an opportunity for me to bring my family with me and have them grow in the same direction with me, at least for this conference, you know, and so that when we get home, we can speak the same language together. So I don't have to try to teach them a language. They can hear it themselves directly. And it was a huge blessing, you know, to be able to do that. And it's beautiful. And it's one of those things that I'm like just kicking myself that I didn't do this sooner, that I didn't start trying to do this sooner. And there's probably a lot of reasons why, you know, when you have little kids at home, it's harder and different things like that. And if the environment isn't conducive to having kids, it's harder. It was easy with this conference because they had a youth track, you know, like high school, middle school, and elementary. So you could bring your kids really easily. But that's something that, you know, I'm hoping to try to rectify now. And like, what I want to talk to you dads is I don't want y'all to be where I am, you know, years later. And if you are, there are still things you can do to try to grow in the same direction. And so Chris, do you have a similar experience or do you have experiences like this, or have you seen this in the lives of other people?
Yeah. So first I want to clarify, this is spiritual unity, not necessarily ministerial unity.
Correct.
And the reason why I want to clarify that is because not all of us are called to be in active ministry in a full-time capacity. But furthermore, it's okay if your spouse is really into being a lector and you're more into helping out with the youth group. Like, that's okay. Yep. That you have different callings and different executions. You guys don't have to live out the faith the same way.
Yep.
But when there's growth and it's distinct growth, that means that you guys are all of a sudden in different places. And I found in my marriage that when my wife and I are in different places or on different pages, that often manifests itself through a thing called conflict. And that's not always the best thing. And so it's not even that I want my wife and I to be in the exact spot spiritually.
Yep.
Because honestly, us being in different places helps us grow and kind of iron sharpens iron, right?
And it helps bring out the fullness of the faith for your kids. You know, so if my kids are growing up and they only see one spirituality and it doesn't fit with them, then it makes it harder for them to say, well, I fit within the church, you know. But if they see yours and they see mom's, you know, a little bit different, but still, you know, together, they'll say, oh, you know, I fit here and I fit here. I think it brings out a more robust, you know, image of the church, of the faith.
And the challenge becomes when all of a sudden someone's spiritual toolbox is built in a way to where another person can't really relate or connect with it. Because then how do you dialogue spiritually with your wife when maybe you've been exposed to Lectio Divina and scripture's coming alive and they're like, I can hardly get through mass because the scripture is so boring to me or whatever. So I think that's the biggest challenge, is not that you guys are on the exact same page, but that there's at least a thread of language and things like that so that you can share that faith journey and that faith growth together. Now, for us, I have seen this happen a number of times when I go away on retreats. I'll have an amazing experience, but typically I'm leading those retreats.
Yeah.
And so I'll come back exhausted to my wife, who is also exhausted because her ministry that weekend was serving our family as a mom who's been widowed by ministry for the sake of the ministry. And she recognizes that that was part of her ministry. And so we've at least have this shared experience of we've poured out into others and we're exhausted. There were different fruits and different experiences. I got to go to confession and adoration, and there was a guitar player there, you know, and things like that. And she got a lot of cartoons, you know, and so it's a different thing, but we at least have that shared experience of like, we have poured out into others together and there's common language there. When it becomes a challenge is when I would go out to like the Bosco conference or some of these training events, or even some personal development retreats. And so the Encounter Conference is a great example, but I also was able to bring my wife as well, and we were able to really journey and grow together. But those times where I come back and I'm on cloud nine and I'm just like, yeah, let's do this. And she's in a different place spiritually altogether. Sometimes it feels like it brings me down. Other times I feel like I might lord it over her. Like, oh, come on, you don't. And not that I'm saying those things, but the way that I'm living and spiritually, like it's all rainbows and puppy dogs. And she's like, I'm still carrying the cross over here.
Yeah.
And so, and that part of my job is to minister and journey with my spouse. And so that discrepancy, that gap, all of a sudden can prevent that from happening effectively. So,
Yeah. And it's not that you guys have to decide on the same thing to go to every single time. Like, it may be that, you know, one time your wife has a talk or a conference that she wants to go to, and you go along with her. And then there'll be another time that you find a talk or a conference you want to go to, and you ask her to come along with you. And so you're each kind of picking things that y'all want to do, but you're doing them together, even if it's not what you want to do or what you would have chosen for yourself. But at least you're hearing the same message and you're able to speak the same language when you get back. And so don't avoid those opportunities to just be alongside your wife. And when I think about this, I think about like two things. One, you know, what is love? And the other one is like, how do friendships and relationships develop? And I want to start with the second one first. Every time that I think about, you know, wanting to be friends with a specific person, I think, okay, it's not just knowing about them. It's not just, you know, meeting them once. We need to have shared experiences together. Because that's like, when you think about it, like when you get together with your friends, what do? You talk about all the things you've done before. That's why so many of the same old stories come up every single time you get together with your high school friends or college friends or anything like that, because those are the experiences y'all had and you have those conversations.
Right.
And so if you want to develop a relationship with someone, and I hope you want to develop a relationship with your wife, you need to have shared experiences with her. And so that's one thing, you know, as you develop that relationship just by having a shared experience with her. And that's the benefit of going to something that maybe she wants to go to and you don't. The other thing is love. Like the definition of what love is, you know, is wanting the good of the other for the sake of the other. You know, I love you and I want what's good for you, just for you, not for any other reason. And what's good for your wife and what's good for you is for y'all to have a good, like, relationship, a shared relationship, and for y'all to be together in these moments when each other is growing. And so that is a way to love your spouse, is to attend the events that they want to attend, even if it's not one you want to attend. And so a lot of times I think about this with regards to, if you have a mixed marriage or whatever, as far as the faith goes, when you have a Catholic and a non-Catholic mixed together, it's still good, even if you're not Catholic, to go to Mass with your spouse.
Right.
And share that experience. And that's a way of loving them. And they, like, in honestly, like, as a Catholic spouse, you know, the non-Catholic spouse may want to attend something at, you know, at their church, and go with them, like, be there with them in that. And I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, Chris, do you have any thoughts on this, you know, why to go to something that you may not want to go to, or why to share these experiences?
So I got to pull out a yellow card. I'm going to give you a yellow card, World Cup. There's a whole piece that is like the logistics behind my wife and I both going to this conference over Christmas. The Encounter conference was colossal.
Oh yeah.
We have six kids. We had to get them all taken care of and squared away. It was buckets of money. I mean, there were just some things. And so I'm tossing up the yellow card, and I just want to acknowledge, like, for some people, it's like caution. Like, there's no way that you can figure out how we're going to go to a conference together, because you've got two kids that are under the age of three. And it's just like, well, guess what? Not going to happen. However, there is the possibility of, what if you made one night of your parish Lenten mission, and she attended the second night of the parish Lenten mission? And then all of a sudden you had some dialogue to foster continuity. What did you learn? What can I share with you? What should I prepare for as I go the next night? And so there are ways that you can tag team what's available at your parish, right? And so, hey, I can't do this. We can't do this together. The season of life is diapers and chaos. So what does that look like? And I think that is where you guys say, okay, we're going to attend our three-day parish mission, and we're going to attend, I'm going to attend one day, you're going to attend one day, and on the final day, we're both going to be too tired, and that's okay. Like, whatever it is, but figure out how you guys as a team can say, we as a couple are going to attend this one person at a time. And that's where sacrificing for the spiritual good of the other is that love that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just want to acknowledge, for some of you who are listening and being like, that's impossible. Like, we had to move mountains, like mountains, to be able to make something like this happen. And it was worth it. There's mountains in your world that might need to get moved around. Fight for this reality.
Yeah.
Even if it's taking a holy hour as a couple at your parish, if they have adoration. And one Wednesday you go, the next Wednesday she goes. And that's a way that you guys are developing or fostering a connectivity spiritually together. Is important. Yep. So that would be the one thought that I wanted to share, is the logistics are just a beast.
Absolutely.
God will anoint those logistics, and they are reason to foster dialogue. I wasn't able to make that talk. Come back and share with me what you learned, what you received.
Yeah. Or even if it's possible to get the recording, you know, and bring it home. But one of the things I also want to do is, like, if your gut reaction is this is impossible, I would challenge you a little bit just to think about that. Like, dive into, like, why do you think it's impossible? And look at the other things in your life that you have made happen, whether it's vacation, like kids' sports, and the amount of money and time that you've invested in all of those things, you know, and compare that to the amount of money and time that you have spent on, like, religious, like, or faith-filled or spirituality things with your family and with your spouse. That was one of the ways that I was convicted about this is, you know, I've taken my kids skiing, and that's not a cheap date. And if there's a whole bunch of logistics to do that, especially when I have little kids, But I had this resistance to take my whole family to this conference.
Right.
It was like, why?
Yeah.
Like I've made harder things happen. I've made more expensive things happen. But why? So why am I having this like resistance to make this happen? And so that maybe that would just be something for you to reflect on, you know, is if I feel like it's impossible, what other things in my life have I made possible that are actually less important than the internal salvation of me, my spouse, and my children? And not to lay Catholic guilt or anything like that on this, but if we feel guilty, that's good. Feel shame? No, not good.
Right.
You know, so, and guilt can be a motivator to do a good thing. And this is a good thing.
And some of you might find yourself in a bit of a desert. Maybe you're at a parish that just offers Mass and maybe even doesn't offer daily Mass. Like it's maybe just a tiny little parish or something along those lines. That doesn't mean that there's a lack of opportunity. It's just you have to find or create your opportunity. I know a Blaze Families has a marriage on mission retreat, and it's a digital retreat. And so my wife and I have experienced that. In fact, the Encounter school that we're in, my wife and I are both taking the classes. So we watch some of the videos together. And it's amazing to be able to sit and be poured into together, even though we're sitting in front of a screen. But then we pause it. We're like, we got to talk about that with our married couples group. Or what does that look like in regards to our parenting? And we're having these dialogues from a video series. And so it doesn't necessarily have to mean jumping on a plane and going to a conference. If your parish doesn't have opportunities for faith growth and development to the degree that would meet your needs, there's other ways to do it. But dag nabbit, work towards it, because the fruits of spiritual unity in a marriage are colossal, generational. Amen. They're huge. Yep. And so we have to be willing to fight for this, even if it creates some conflict of like, well, I don't really feel like doing it. Well, how about you do this and then I'll do that, and kind of make some of those compromises to meet each other in the middle. Because when you meet in the middle, you meet. And that's the most important thing, is that unity. So,
and in all likelihood, you know, there are other couples that you know in your parish. And it would not be hard at all, I don't think, you know, to approach those couples, a couple that you're friends with, like part of your community, and say, hey, you know, my wife and I want to start doing this, you know, wild goose series together. But we'd like to do it, you know, where, when the kids are not around, would you guys mind watching the kids on Mondays, watching our kids on Mondays? We can watch your kids on Tuesdays and y'all can do a similar thing.
Yes.
So just kind of trading off, and the logistics get relatively easy when you involve the community, when you involve your village.
Yeah.
When you pull your tribe together, you know, and everybody, every Catholic that I know, that is invested in their faith, they want to see their friends' faith life grow, you know, and they want theirs to grow too. And so if we get to participate in helping each other grow, outside of even just our family, that's huge. And we like to do that. Like, at least I can say that I like to provide opportunities for the couples that I know to grow and to have time together. And I'm happy to watch their kids while they do that.
And
I know they are for me.
When you do that, you're ministering to another couple.
Amen.
Together. You and your wife are ministering together, which is spiritually edifying, right?
Yeah.
To say it in a more blunt way, you are not that unique. You're not. There are other couples and other people in your parish community right now that hunger with the same hunger that you have.
Yep.
And so get together with them and figure out how you can help each other get that hunger satisfied. Yep. There's a spiritual hunger that exists in all of us. And we all of a sudden as Catholics feel like, well, if I'm spiritually hungry, I'm not holy enough, so I should feel bad about that. No, you should feel activated by that reality and go and do something about it, not just for yourself, because our faith is just like love. Love is not good unless it's given away. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we really know. And so faith is not good unless we share it, you know? And so find other people and figure out how you can align your hungers to meet those needs. And again, sometimes it might mean, hey, we're going to have a married couples group and journey spiritually together. Sometimes it might mean, hey, we're going to do babysitting swapping so that we can go ahead and just have a holy hour together, or watch the Wild Goose series, or do something spiritually together, you know? And so I love that idea, but I just want to acknowledge, like, if you're hungering and you feel isolated by it, the pathway of a disciple oftentimes feels isolating, but there's so many others that hunger with the same hunger that you have, because God put the same love or that same hunger for him in every human heart. And that's a beautiful reality.
Amen. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, what are some other obstacles, you know, to getting this to happen? And one of the things that came to mind, you know, is, you know, if you have a, if your spouse, either it's the husband or the wife, is not interested in these things. Very often it's the husband. You know, you have the wife who is, you know, into it, you know, into spiritual life and learning more and going to conferences and retreats and stuff like that. And the husband's typically the one who stays home. One of the things that the person who stays home sometimes feels is judged. You know, they feel judged by the one who is holier, you know, than they are. And so when you like initiate this conversation, you know, when you start to have these conversations with your spouse, you know, make sure, you know, that it's not a, you know, you need to go to this or else, you know, kind of thing, or any kind of judgment. And I would even say, like, disarm it altogether and say, you know, honey, like, I would really like you to come to this, not because I want you to, you know, convert, or not because I want you to, I don't know, because I think you need it or anything like that. I want you to come just so that we can have a conversation about it afterwards, or no, just so that we can have the same language, or so that you experience, or you see what I experience, you know, just so that, I don't know, what's a better way to say that, Chris? Because there's a way to disarm this when you invite someone and them not feel judged in that process.
Well, I would clarify, it's an interesting question, because if it was like a retrovi retreat, to where it's like people for marriages who are broken or whatever, I don't think you can say that without being like, hey, let's just see.
No, I'm just talking about the parish mission. Let's just say the parish mission that the husband's never gone to before, or the wife has never gone to before.
I would consider it a date, and I would literally make it a date. Like, instead of a movie, let's go to the mission, but we're going to go to your favorite steak place or your favorite salad place or whatever it is. To make it more about spending time with each other. And one of the best ways to spend time with each other is with each other before our Lord.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so when my wife and I had our first miscarriage, it took us a long time to get synced up spiritually again. My wife was able to kind of journey back a little bit quicker. And I was listening to the same sad songs, playing Minesweeper on the computer, just staring, like I zoned out. Yeah. And I mean, I'm talking for like 3 months.
Wow.
And she prayed for me. She loved me, but she was in a place where she was like ready to go. Like, she was back spiritually. And I was pissed. I was so mad at God for like this 3 month period. She loved me through it. She recognized that we were in different spots, but she knew that I needed some pastoral care or nurturing from her. So she just recognized that I was grieving differently, that I was going through something spiritually differently. And she was patient and she prayed for me, even though she couldn't pray with me. I wasn't open to that at that time. And so I do want to acknowledge that there are seasons, and some people listening might be in one of those seasons to where they're in a completely different spot than their spouse is spiritually. Pray for your spouse. Just pray for them. And then little invitations. Hey, come back to Mass. You know, like, let's come back to Mass for this day or for this day. Stay faithful into the practice that you're doing, because we don't want you to have the hand that you hold as the hand that holds you down. Yeah. Like, literally, you want to be the one that's helping them up by holding their hand. But some of the anger and the guilt and stuff like that could have come into that situation that I was describing after the miscarriage didn't happen, because my wife nurtured me back to the faith in that season. And so I just want to acknowledge that it's not always about that. But if you guys are both in decent spots seeking the Lord, then find ways to seek the Lord together. If you're in different spots, find ways to get on the same page and then seek the Lord together again.
Yeah. And the way you're going to get your spouse to start attending things like this, if they're resistant, you know, is not through nagging. You know, it's through love, your own conversion, humility, and them seeing a change in you, you know, in a good way, in a good change, you know, honey, you're just loving me so much better now, you know, or, you know, there's something different about you. What is it? You know, and that's when, you know, like that change, you know, that invitation is a lot more likely to happen, you know, not the nagging. But again, you know, make sure that, you know, you and your spouse are growing together spiritually, in together, like not necessarily the same, but growing together, because it's absolutely, like Chris said, it's going to, you know, help avoid that conflict. It's going to help you guys be more unified as parents, you know, in sharing the faith with the kids, and just that, like the language and the conversations that are going to happen is going to be so much easier. Earlier, we were talking about, you know, oh, if you go to this conference and you come home. So I was thinking about Neil Lozano, you know, and the Unbound, yep. you know, training. You know, that training and that formation is all about, like, you know, rebuking and casting out evil spirits.
Right.
And you go to that conference and you come home and you say, hey, honey, I want to pray for, you know, I want to pray over our, you know, our 15-year-old, you know, for, you know, to rebuke the spirit of fear because I see it's holding him back. And then your spouse is like, what? because they aren't going to understand, you know, kind of the language you're coming from. And so that's just maybe a more poignant example of, you know, God wants to do big things in your family. Now, he wants the Holy Spirit to pour out in a radical way in your family. And he wants you guys to do things like that. And it's going to be so hard to do it if you're alone. You need to come together and work together so that, you know, you can work with the Holy Spirit to make that family, make that domestic church exactly what God wants it to be.
Because if God wants to do radical things in your family, he wants to do radical things in your marriage.
Amen. Right?
And Amen. So find ways to be unified in regards to that. One thing they mentioned at the Encounter Conference was that people today, they don't need a program. They don't need a speaker. They need love. And God is love. And so sometimes there's opportunities that don't align with the season that your marriage is in, that the season yep. that your spouse might be in. And do not give up. Like, oh no, the parish mission, and they're bringing out this speaker, and we have to go because the speaker, I think he's really going to fix whatever's going on with you. Yeah, totally wrong way to approach that one, yep. genius.
Yeah, the fixing idea, that's a really good thing to bring up.
Right, right. And so then all of a sudden, they're not open to it. And you're like, oh, they're forsaken then. You're wrong. Nope. They don't need the speaker. Yep. God can still find a way to reach your spouse or to reach you, even if you don't go to the speaker or the right thing or this thing or that thing. Like, there's not a perfect thing because God is in relationship and love is a relationship. And so there's going to be countless opportunities. And so maybe, hey, for Lent, let's do something spiritual together. I was thinking there's this speaker. No, thank you. I don't want to go to the parish mission. What is something we could do together? Well, what if we spent 15 minutes in scripture every day? Would you be willing to do that? And all of a sudden your mind is blown, like, my spouse does want to pursue the Lord and be pursued yep. by the Lord. It's like we just kept taking the wheel. Instead, we just had to switch and say, why don't you be the driver for a minute?
Yeah.
Because I'll go with you spiritually wherever you want to go, you know, as long as it's moving yeah. forward. And so don't be afraid, because some of us live in that bulletin or live on those online communities that talk about all the cool Catholic stuff. And there's so much working of the Holy Spirit in the church today. Sometimes someone just wants to sit and open up the Bible every day. And to do that with your spouse, the Lord will anoint in abundance as well.
Yeah. And I like you alluded to it, you know, giving your reluctant spouse the reins and yeah. saying, you know, what would you like to do together? Like, I don't want to do what I want to do alone. I want to do what we want to do together, or what yes. you want to do together.
Yes.
And you know, if they say, well, I don't even know where to start, you know, you can say, do you want me to give you some suggestions, or do you want to do some looking around, you know, together to see if there's something that's interesting? It could be the Bible in the year, listening to that podcast together, the Catechism in the year now, listen to that podcast together. Now, that's probably not the place to start with a reluctant spouse. I don't know. I haven't listened to that one yet, but Father Mike Schmitz is amazing, you know, and most men, like when they hear him, like they like him. Yeah. And women say he's not hard to look at, you know, so that's kind of a fun one. It's an easy win-win,
easy on
right?
the eyes. yeah, for sure. For sure. One note on that, Catechism in the Year became the number one podcast in America. And our producer, the person who edits this podcast, helped edit that podcast as well. So congratulations to Taylor Schroll from yep. the Catholic Dad Show on having some of your work go to number one in the world yep. on iTunes.
That's amazing.
Like, that's huge. So congratulations,
great job, Taylor. That's so
We're
cool.
We're super proud of you guys. So yeah, good. Okay, closing thoughts. Tell us, what are kind of a couple of key takeaways as we wrap it up?
I don't have like bullet points or anything like that, but make sure you're growing. Make sure you're growing together. And like spending time, you know, walking towards the Lord together so that you have that same, you know, language. You know, Chris, you're much better at pulling these into bullet points. And if we had, you know, show prep or notes, then we would have that too. But what are your thoughts, Chris?
Well, first of all, I had COVID, so the show prep this week has not been the best, nor is my vocals the best. So I apologize for that. I think it's important to get the perspective of, first of all, God loves you and God desires good things for your marriage. Acting out of that reality, that identity, is so important in regards to moving forward in this, because God already has a plan for you and your spouse to be unified spiritually. Amen. Being unified spiritually and being the same spiritually are two different things. And unified spiritually is much better than being the same, because there's a perspective of God that they see, that they can share with you, that you see, that you can share with them, and you can help each other grow together. A lot of times there's a lack of opportunity. No, there's not. Get over it. If you can plan a ski trip, if you can have a kid in sports, you can figure out the logistics behind doing something together. Put in the work. There's going to be abundant fruits of it. And it might be difficult at first because your spouse might be on a different page or whatever. Be patient and pray them there. God desires them there as well.
Amen. All right, guys. So this is the first time that we're recording in the new year, not the first episode that's been aired in the new year. And I'm just throwing this curveball out there to Chris right now. I think I'd like to end all of our sessions, you know, praying for you. And so we'll do the normal closing of our show, and then we're gonna pray for you.
Excellent. Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us at the Catholic Dad Show, where we believe that Catholic fatherhood is changing the world. Get out there with your spouse and go change the world in the way that you seek our Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we thank you for this opportunity to just share with dads, with spouses, with husbands, with families, whatever it was that on our heart that you wanted them to hear. God, we pray for their relationship, for their spirituality, that they grow together, and that you create opportunities for them to do that. And whatever obstacles are in the way, God, we rebuke those obstacles in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray that you just make opportunities for these couples, these husbands, these wives, to grow together towards you.
And then, gentlemen, if you could pray right after me, just repeat after me. Jesus, I invite you in to my marriage, to my spirituality. Open my eyes to see opportunities to know you and to make you known. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go live it out.
God bless, guys.